الله. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون، قل أمر ربي بالقسط وأقيموا وجوهكم عند كل مسجد ودعوه مخلصين له الدين كما بدأكم تعودون. سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليه. Allah mentioned in the Quran, "Inna al-Dina 'inda Allah al-Islam." The Deen, the religion, the way of life in the sight of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is Islam. Now, what is Deen? Is Deen just the mere rituals that we perform? Is our Deen limited to just Salah or Ibadat? How is our Deen? Deen is an entire way of life. It's not just a matter of how am I performing my Ibadah. Rather, even ideologically, what do I contain within here? Meaning my beliefs, not just beliefs, but what's my perception of reality? What's my paradigm? How do I see the world? Islam extends to this. If a person, for example, says, I believe truth to be relative, meaning, I'll tell you what I mean by this. I believe that every person has their own truth. Truth is relative. That itself is a problematic statement to take a person out of the fold of Islam. Now, that's my point. Deen is so encompassing that it's also to do with the mind, the ideology, the paradigm, the lens with which we see the world. See, paradigm, how do we understand the word paradigm? It seems like a large word or a thing. How do we understand what that means? Is how do we, what's the lens with which we use to see the world? Think of it, without your glasses, you can't see the world properly. It's different colored, it's blurry, you're unable to see it. It requires a lens for you to see it. You can wear the lens of Islam. You can wear the lens of secular liberal ideologies. You can wear the lens of materialism, of capitalism. Whatever lens a person uses or wears, is how the person is going to perceive the world, how they're going to see reality. Now that's what Deen does, and by the way, Deen is not just limited to that. This is just the internal aspect of our mind, ideology, aqaid, beliefs. Now we mentioned about our ibadat, our muamalat, mu'ashrat, etc. We mentioned that. But deen is an entire way of life which elicits, which brings about the best form of human life. Every individual. And by extension, there are individual laws, there are communal laws. So by extension, it reforms and rectifies societies. So when people say, for example, what has the religion got to do with how I conduct my affairs? The religion is a whole way of life. So yes, it is going to tell you how we conduct our affairs. The religion is not just limited to what a person does in their own home. And this was an example of Shu'aib alayhi salam's time. That during Shu'aib alayhi salam's time, the people said to him, that does your religion tell, does your salah, the words were, does your salah extend to our mu'amalat, so our dealings? Meaning, keep your deen on your salah, tell us to do that, but leave it there. Meaning they were known for cheating each other. They were known for تنقص المكيال والميزان. They were known to decrease when it came to, for example, buying and selling. So you vegetables, etc., are weighed. So what they would do is when it came to taking their right, when they were buying, they would demand it in full. When it was others, they cheat the scale for them to be able to use a different rock, etc., and how it was used, for them to be able to take more from the buyer. So Shu'aib alayhi salam is there preventing this. But they said, is your salah commanding us to do this? Make your mind up. Are you telling us to perform salah and worship Allah, or to sort out our mu'amalat, our monetary dealings? Meaning they extricated, they disconnected their dealings, their conduct from the religion. And our religion extends by us. And this is one example that Rasulullah mentioned succinctly. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent. The wording used, again, it's not in an absolute sense. But he said, I have only been sent, but again, it's not, we understand this, but if for emphasis he said this, that I have only been sent to complete noble characteristics. Now again, when we say noble characteristics, akhlaq doesn't just mean conduct, it means a way of living, an entire being that includes connection to Allah, the rights of the people includes both. But he mentions, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent to perfect and complete noble characteristics. Excellent character. But again, character is not limited to just akhlaq. It's rather a whole way of being. That includes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the huququllah, the rights of Allah, and the rights of the creation. And to the extent that our iman is subject to our iman, the level of our iman has been in certain narrations subjected to the way we conduct ourselves. Again, our conduct is not limited to just ibadah, and it's not just limited to akhlaq. It's encompassing. Rasulullah mentions, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا, that the most complete and most perfect or most fulfilled in terms of iman are those who are better in character, in conduct, in the way they are as a believer, expressing themselves, whether that's in da'wah, whether that's in their iman, they're not ashamed to perform their salah wherever they are, whether that's in conduct, the way they are talking to people, encompassing. Then, Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that every faith has certain hallmarks, has certain characteristics which define it. And he said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خُلُقًا وَخُلُقُ هَذَا الدِّينَ الْحَيَاءِ. Every religion has characteristics. خُلُق, obviously, خُلُق doesn't just mean akhlaq, but it means characteristics. Has characteristics. And the characteristic of this deen, amongst the characteristics of this deen, is haya, is modesty. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is, we've seen, alhamdulillah, we had a few days of sunshine. I walked out, I thought it'd be sun. But alhamdulillah, it's rain. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we saw a few days of sunshine. And as we've seen the few days of sunshine, we would have recognized the amount of immodesty that's witnessed. Whether that's in terms of knees, the thighs, etc., exposed. Or whether it's the others in other communities and the females, how it's their legs, etc., shown. So we've seen the immodesty, which is in direct conflict with our aspect of what we believe as believers, the way we conduct ourselves. And of course, how others believe, even in a Muslim society, even in Islamic society, they are never prevented from, unless it's extremely fuhsh, unless it's extremely immoral, that they are prevented. But other than that, only the believers are, this is specific for the believers. But the individuals that are believers, I'll give you an example, we had just an event. Even the boys that came had the knees exposed. And the point of this is that Rasulullah mentions, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خُلُقًا, every religion has characteristics, and the characteristic of this deen is haya. Then at one point, he said, إِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ وَالْإِيمَانَ قُرِنَا جَمِيعًا, that iman and haya are inextricably associated. They're together, قُرِنَا, they've come together. فَإِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرَ, when iman is uplifted, so does haya. However, if haya is uplifted, so is iman. Now look at this. Look at the inextricability, look at the connection between and the inseparability of haya and iman. Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, they were in Jannah. When Adam alayhi salam induced them, of course it was their own decision, but induced them to eat from the tree, as a consequence, they were removed from Jannah. But what was the immediate consequence? Their privates became exposed. The consequence of it, their privates became exposed. So that thing induced that the clothing is removed and their privates became exposed. وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ, they immediately began to cover themselves. Now this was not taught. They were not taught haya. They were not taught that this is how you need to dress. It's fitri. It's natural. Even a child, you will see, they won't be taught this, but you'll see them go into a corner when they want to relieve themselves. They'll go away from people and go into a corner so that even though they've got their nappies on, they'll go there and to try and relieve themselves. It's fitri. It's natural place within us, untaught. It's not taught. It's natural. And the point of this is why I'm talking about this is there are two things over here. For a person to change their fitra requires two things. Either one is innate, that the person's fitra has become clouded, individual becomes clouded, or it becomes disfigured to the point that even the modest things are not even considered modest to them anymore. For example, they'll say, what's the problem with it? Number two, or second one, is acquired. So one is innate, number two is acquired. That when a person is surrounded by certain characteristics, they deem it to be immodest to wear other clothing because of their environment, what they're infused with. And you look at it in certain countries, you go to certain societies, even those that are not of Muslim background will still dress in a certain particular way. Because the environment and the society they're in that is considered immodest, therefore we're not going to wear that clothing. So it's surrounding. Impact, again, there are multiple factors, it's multifactorial, about how this works. But coming back, that when iman is uplifted, haya is uplifted. When haya is uplifted, iman is uplifted. To the point that when Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, when they were exposed, they began covering themselves immediately. Immediately. Iman and haya's inextricability, the inseparability of both of them. Now, how do we understand modesty? Because the question people then come is, well, why is that modest? This particular clothing you're saying for males, that navel to knees, why do we have to cover all of that? Or for women, why is it that they can only expose their hands, face and feet? Why is that that's not their awra, meaning that's their awra, not to say that all is exposed, but that's their awra. Why is that considered, why is that the benchmark of modesty? Number one, modesty and morality is only known objectively. If you say something is modest and somebody else says something is modest, who's right, who's wrong? Who determines modesty? That's the subjective. Every person has their own criteria, own ideology. What makes that binding? Whose morality is binding? Whose morality is going to say that this is the absolute truth? It requires something beyond human subject. It requires something beyond human desire. It's all human desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-bar. He's al-alim. He's al-hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim. He is the all-knowing. He's al-bar. He is the source of all goodness. Understand this quality of Allah, his name of Allah. He is the source of all goodness. Morality and immorality is known only known by what Allah commands. Why? He is al-bar. His quality is the source of all goodness. So morality is only going to be known in light of the objective being who is the source of all goodness. So when somebody asks, well, why is that modest? Because this is the command of the al-bar, of the source of all goodness. Allah says in the Quran, لا يأمر بالفحشاء. He does not command immorality. This is in the context of the pagans, the mushrikeen of Mecca, they would go around the Kaaba naked. And they would say, we are filthy individuals. You know, how can we wear these clothes, etc.? Their qiyas is their own analogy, saying that we are filthy individuals. We need to go around the Kaaba without any clothes, naked, as a form of repentance, as a form of to compensate for all we've done. Their own analogy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Allah does not command immorality. Immorality is not going to cause forgiveness. There's no association. أَتَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And look at the next part. Allah then says, do you attribute something to Allah which you do not know? Why are you applying certain modesty, certain characteristics, which is to say this is truth, meaning indirectly you're applying this to Allah to say Allah's pleasure is upon this. So are you saying that that is moral, meaning applying that this is Allah's command, because morality is only known in the light of Allah, and it says, قُلْ أَمْرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah only commands that which is just, which every Jum'ah would do here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ. He commands justice. He commands عَدْل, integrity. وَالْإِحْسَانِ, he commands excellence. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ, he prevents and abhors immodesty. Fahsha, evil. He commands that this stops. وَالْمُنْكَرِ, and the wrong acts. يَعْرُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. He commands you so that we take heed, we take lessons of this. So, final advice. Number one, as alhamdulillah, we've had a few days of very good weather. And we're going to have upcoming, Allah knows that upcoming weather is showing, again, it's all the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it is, that our modesty and our standard is going to be different. Why? Our modesty and what we know to be objective from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is al-bar, who is a source of all goodness, who is al-alim, he is the all-knowing, who is also al-hakim, the all-wise, has commanded a level of modesty. And this modesty has been throughout centuries, by the way. The Umman before us had similar standards also. This through the previous nations. And even other societies today, even within the Judeo-Christian traditional backgrounds, you'll see them exhibit certain characteristics which align with this also. So, number one, when we are during these moments, whether it's our children, whether it's our family, whoever it is, our siblings, we ensure that level of modesty is maintained. Particularly the fard. We're not discussing right now the mustahab, the preferable or the rewarding. We're discussing the absolute bare minimum. The navel to knees are completely covered. For the Hanafis, excluding the navel, but at least cover the navel, and including the knees also. For the other schools, is including the navel, and for the other three schools, and it's excluding the knee, but part of the knee needs to be covered, because if part of the knee isn't covered, the thigh can become exposed, and all schools believe that that's to be covered. So cover it fully anyway, from navel to below knees. If you're going to wear 3/4, then wear 3/4, but ensure it's much lower. It's not a problem in itself. But wearing clothing that covers the body the best, ensuring it's loose. It's fard to ensure that's covered. It's wajib to ensure that it's loose. Something might be covered, meaning it might not be visible. But if it's skin tight, it defeats the purpose of it not being exposed. It's tight. Yes, it may not be visible, but the skin level of that area that which is supposed to be exposed is at skin level, which is wajib to cover. So ensuring that that is all covered with loose clothing for the females, except for face, hands, and feet. For the males, for navel to below the knees. But again, the mustahab, the beyond that, is to ensure that the body is covered in the best way. Again, if the sun is shining and it's quite warm, then again, as long as the fard and wajib is covered. Number two, when we go out into certain areas, be particular about where we're going to. If we're going to deliberately go into areas where we know it's going to be extremely immodest, think about the impact of this. We're going to be looking at things that are going to be impermissible. We're not saying there are ways around it. You can find certain areas where there are going to be more Muslims in a particular area, away from others. Yesterday we took the children, and we thought, where can we take the children? As a madrasa, final day, fun day, we thought, where can we take them? And to ensure that it's in an environment where there's not going to be others, you know, the exposure of the awrat, the people are going to be immodest. Where can we do that? We had an exclusive hire in Fleet Nation. Alhamdulillah, children enjoyed it. It was only our children, about 66 of them that we took. Alhamdulillah, they enjoyed it. But it was an exclusive area. They enjoyed it in their own clothing, in their own environment. No music, anything playing. But it was something where it's their identity building, particularly for them. Not just them. Again, it affects every person's iman. But when they're growing up and they're not formed, they don't understand the ideology completely yet, they're infused by that which surrounds them. Psychologically defined by three things. Actions, whatever you're doing currently. Environment, vocation, everything that surrounds you and infuses you. Well, that's what you're watching, well, that's what you're seeing, well, that's your education and mind. But this is all interconnected. All this is interconnected. We may not realize the impact of this until later. When somebody speaks their mind, then you realize how warped it is. But nobody speaks their mind until later. But all of this impacts the individuals, all interconnected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all truly salam and tawfiq.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا لباسا يواري به سوآتنا وزيننا بزينة الإيمان أحمده تعالى وأشكره وأتوب إليه وأستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين كانوا للحق أنصارا وأعمالنا أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين أوصيكم نفسي أولا بتقوى الله عز وجل والتمسك بالسنة المطهرة إخوة الإسلام الدين طريق الحياة وفيه إصلاح لنا وللعالم لذلك بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث قال بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق وقال أيضا إن لكل دين خلقا وخلق هذا الدين الحياء نفهم من هذا أهمية الحياء في ديننا وحديث آخر يدل على التلازم بين الإيمان والحياء حيث قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الحياء والإيمان قرنا جميعا فإذا رفع أحدهما رفع الآخر أريد الانتباه على الحياء الظاهر اليوم لأننا ندخل في الصيف والحرارة وإن كان قليلا تأتي نرى كثيرا هنا يمشون كأنهم عرايا يكسون قليلا حيث حتى الرجال يكسون أكثر من النساء خلافا للفطرة السليمة علينا أولا الأخلاق التي يلزم علينا أن نراعيهم. أولا علينا أن نغض أبصارنا ونحفظ عوراتنا. العورة للرجال ما بين السرة والركبتين، وعند الحنفية خاصة دون السرة مع الركبتين، وعند الآخرين خاصة الشافعية والمالكية والحنابلة مع السرة دون الركبتين. والأكثر من العلماء يقولون بستر الركبة أيضا كي لا يظهر ما فوق ذلك، لأن ذلك عورة عند كل أحد. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونساء المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، من أطاعهما فقد رشد واهتدى، ومن يعصهما فقد ضل وغوى. أما بعد، فيا معشر المسلمين، قال الله تبارك وتعالى مخبرًا وآمرًا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. قال: اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته وعلماء أمته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ولده والناس أجمعين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشهدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأحياهم عثمان، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنهم، وسيد نساء أهل الجنة فاطمة رضي الله عنها، وسيد شهداء حمزة رضي الله عنه. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فبغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين لونهم رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر لنا وإخواننا سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان، اللهم انصر إخواننا المظلومين في غزة وفي السودان وفي كشمير وفي إيران وإنما هم مستضعفون، اللهم انصرهم نصرا عزيزا، وافتح لهم فتحا مبينا، وافتح لهم فتحا قريبا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Kindly straighten the rows and show the stuff in front of you is complete before standing on the next row, and show your heels are on the first line. Today's a school holiday. We have many youngsters, so we don't have as much space. So brothers can become as tight and closer as possible, so that opens up space for the others that are coming in.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي للصلاة، حي للصلاة، حي للفلاح، حي للفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين،
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allahumma rabbi 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 ala alihi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.